Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. Okay, so my talk title tonight is Back to the Future, because that's how I feel coming back from camp. I just feel camp had a surprisingly profound effect on me. Some of it was good, some of it was not so good. You know, camp in summer is by no means easy, but, you know, when you've got brothers like Brent down there, you know, praise the Lord for Brent, yeah. Let's turn to 1 Brent chapter 2, you know. So Back to the Future, because, yeah, coming back to Bunbury after being down at camp felt like I was going from one world to a completely different world, and it just reminded me of Back to the Future. And Back to the Future, for those that don't know, is a set of three movies and some video games and some songs. It was quite a thing back in the 80s. But, you know, the interesting thing about Back to the Future was we've now passed Back to the Future Day. So that was October 21, 2015, for all you nerds out there. You know, so when we used the 1.21 gigawatts and we belted ourselves into the future, well, that day came and went. And there were no flying cars. There were no self-tying sneakers, although they say they did, Nike did come out with some. And there's no hoverboards. So I'm really annoyed that I didn't get my flying car yet. And I'm really annoyed with the price of fuel at the moment, although it's come down again now. But there's no Mr. Fusion, because I enjoy, you know, just getting a few garbage scraps and putting it into my nuclear reactor in the back of my car and, you know, driving to work. But unlike the movie, we can't actually go back in time and change events. We've had that power taken away from us for the moment. I'm not saying that, you know, when the Lord returns, we might be, you know, puppet masters of our own and creating our own little universes and, you know, doing all those really head-spinny things. But just in summarising, there's three movies. Part one starts in 1985, goes back to 1955, they come back to 1985, then they go forward to 2015, then they go back to an alternate 1985, and then they go back to the Old West in 1885. And that's the bit that I felt like. I felt like we'd gone to the Old West. Instead, we'd gone 40 minutes down the road to Busselton. You know, it's like, you know, people say, you know, where I used to live in Tasmania, it's like, how far is it? And I say, well, it's about an hour and 10 years away from Hobart. As you go down the winding road, you know, you just go back in time. It is like time travel. So, yeah, life at camp is much simpler. Distractions are removed. It's kind of a subsistence living. You know, things are really, really simple. You know, you have a meeting in the morning, and then you have some lunch, and then you have fry in the sun time, and then you have another meeting. You know, it's pretty straightforward. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. And clearly I've embraced take no thought for my body, and in fact what you shall put on. Michelle had to tell me to change my shirt because the one I was wearing was really unsuitable for talk giving. So take no thought for what you shall put on, and especially at camp you don't certainly worry about that so much. You know, whether you put on shoes is the biggest question for the day. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air in verse 26, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And the answer I keep saying is actually no, we're no better than the birds. You know, we were created by God, and birds were created to be birds, and we were created to be annoying. You know, we do what we have to do. Are you not much better than they? In verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And unless you've got some of those, you know, Kardashian-style platform shoes, no. We cannot add to our stature. Although, again, if you get the Meccano set stuff that the hospitals wheel out when you have an accident and break bones, you can stretch yourself a little bit. You know, if you need your neck lifting up a bit, they can take care of that. But generally speaking, no, you can't make yourself taller just by thinking about it. So this is kind of life at camp. It's just a really simple thing. And fortunately, my bro Brent, he told me that it was gonna take a few days before you really, you know, understood about what it was like to be at camp. And that was true. The first day, you know, I was just I was annoyed. You know, I was annoyed because I've been taken out of my glorious high work, high stress environment and sent to the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, I was prepared for what I had to do. I'd set up the music. Show would help me. Thanks, show. You know, but I can't give you the bro love, that, you know, because you're not Brent. I'm sorry. You know, so we'd done that. We were ready for camp. I'd organised for the caravan to be taken down there and everything was good to go. But I found out that not everybody else that goes to camp is similarly ready. In fact, most people were not even close to ready. So when we came to have choruses like, can I borrow your guitar? Can I borrow your music? You know, people just know there was no chorus books, no hymn books. It was just not ready. And I'm told this is how camp is. And I was a bit irked by this because I'm like, these are camp veterans. I'm looking around at the early adopters of camp and they still can't figure out they need chorus books on day one. And, you know, the people that are going to play guitars didn't think to bring their guitar or their music or both, but they expected it would be laid on. And that's kind of like our relationship with God in a sense because, you know, we're told to rely on God for everything. We're told to trust in God and he'll provide everything. Well, these people took it just that one step a little too far. But, you know, apparently that's how it works. So, yeah, I will give you rest. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Okay, Matthew 11 and verse 28. And it says here, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I put a note here that you'll get rest unless, of course, you're spreading mulch in like 33 degrees. And it'll only take 10 minutes. They seem to be going for quite a while, but everybody else who didn't volunteer, indeed, there was rest. So breaking this down in the physical sense, I found it really easy. You know, come unto me, it was like going to camp, going to being amongst the saints was like going to be with God. It was, you know, the hippie commune idea, and, you know, there's people there generally, you know, had this common thing. I was going to say of one mind, but that's not true because there wasn't too many minds to be spared down there. Most people had relaxed and set that aside. And I'll give you rest. And certainly the rest was there. And it was great that we could take these scriptures and we could apply them in this physical sense down at camp. In verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And again, even though there was things to do down there, whether it be, you know, doing the audio, playing the music, or emptying the bins, or cleaning the ablution block, really it's not too hard compared to what you have to do to get through a normal day. All the people said, for those people that were there at least. You know, but it turns out it's actually really exhausting. So by, you know, 9 o'clock at night, I was had it. I was completely had it because I didn't have camp fitness. You know, I might have been able to work till 2 or 3 in the morning with my IT job, but I couldn't actually stay up, you know, for that many hours doing nothing. So it took a few days to work into that. It really did. I was exhausted. And I remember Beverly that, you know, used to, as a young person, rail against this curfew, this 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock curfew. I couldn't stay up till 11 o'clock. Although on the first night we did get told off for raging. Well, didn't we, Pastor Philip? The curfews, yeah. It turns out pastors don't get a special curfew exemption, which I was counting on. Thought if I hung out with Brother Brent and all the cool people, you know, I'd... Yeah, so I will give you rest. And so I really valued the rest because you needed the sleep to get up in the morning and go ahead and do it all again. Another thing that I really liked at camp, which I didn't like the first time around. Michelle and I, we were foundation members at Beverly, and we were involved in digging holes and moving holes and filling up holes, and they were the same hole. And, you know, we sat in this really dodgy tent, this, you know, and it flapped around just so badly, and it was super hot. And we stayed up there originally in a three-person tent, and, you know, you'd be like the tent zombies getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning because you couldn't stay in there anymore because it was so hot. And you'd look to the caravans up the hill and think, oh, one day I'll own one of those and, you know, I'll have it good. And we did. One day we did. We managed to pick up a caravan quite cheaply and move into the big leagues, and, you know, things were okay. But eventually it was just too hot and too hard, and holidays were what you had when you didn't go to camp. But this time, I loved the talks. I really loved the talks. And I was asking people what they got out of camp because I was trying to get on the fast track. You know, what is it that people come to camp for? And obviously, fellowship is one of the things. But the talks. And as it turns out, I got a lot from what Chris Watkins had to say. And, you know, he only spoke for 10 minutes. And, you know, again, it was just this profound thing that he said. And so one of the things he touched on is in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Okay, so in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Pretty profound, isn't it? If the clouds be full, they empty themselves upon the earth. But that's what you get out of Ecclesiastes. And if the tree fall toward the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. In verse 4, he that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. Or as we say these days, paralysis by analysis. You know, if you're thinking about whether you should do something, you really should have gone out and done it. But the point that Chris brought out is that if something bad happens in your life, it has happened. You can't wish it. You can't go back in. You know, can't go back in time and move the pieces around and make sure this thing doesn't happen. It has happened. And as Ecclesiastes likes to tell us, you know, stuff happens. You know, so it rains on. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. There's, you know, certain people that try and dissect. You know, the tree fell towards the south, well, that means this certain thing, and if it fell towards the north, then it means another thing. As long as it didn't fall on your house or your car, let the tree fall over, you know? That's really how that is. And so the essence of what he's getting across was, you know, relax, you know? It's very difficult sometimes, and, you know, we had the terrible case of, you know, what happened with Nina shortly after this talk was, you know, there was the fire on the farm and it was a terrible thing, but it has happened. And worrying about this thing can't make it not happen. And that's the lesson to take on board, that life happens to us as spirit-filled people as much as it happens to our next-door neighbours and the dodgy people across the road selling the drugs out of the garage, you know. These things happen to us, and as much as we think that we're surrounded by the cone of protection, the dome of protection, it's the cone of silence, or just the dome of coffee making, you know, it's a peaceful and happy place, but it's not always going to be like that. You know, if there's a, you know, a willy-willy or something down in Busselton, they'll sweep through the camp and pick things up and move them around, and, you know, these things happen. So conditions will never be perfect, and any amount of prognosticating and looking at the sky and trying to determine the weather, or in, as we were all doing, looking at the weather apps trying to work out, you know, how stinking hot it was going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's going to happen. So you can go along to the morning meeting and think, you know, I dread it's going to be so hot and I can't cope, or you can go along to the morning meeting knowing it's going to be, you know, hot. And what can the Lord teach me from the talks? And that was my transformation. I found it very difficult in the first few days with the heat, but then the Lord really blessed these people speaking, and it was great to be there. And, you know, the fact that just in a 10-minute gem makes you wonder why we have to talk for 50 minutes on a Sunday, but, you know, just a 10-minute gem, and I'm still thinking about it after camp, I thought that was great, that we could take these things away. Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so this scripture actually led me to the the bro testimony and things like that, because it doesn't matter how much we worry in our own selves and how much work and research we do, the Lord blesses us. And I was saying to Ian at the start of the meeting, sometimes it's harder for us to accept that the Lord has made something so easy because we like to think that we need to add some value to a transaction. Well, sometimes the most value you can add is getting out of the way of the transaction and letting it happen. And so that's, you call Brent, you say, you get out of the way, you just give him a call. And you take no thought for the morrow, because the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You know, because, you know, at camp, it's all about seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. You don't go to camp to, you know, be on the phone all the time or watching telly in the campus kitchen or, you know, whatever other controversial things that might happen. The whole point of going to camp is to put away everything that you do in your normal life and just embrace the things of God. And the people said, so I didn't say all, because I knew some people ain't going to see it. And 98% of the people said. 90%? Okay. We don't know about the people online might have said amen and skewed your numbers a bit. But that's what's good about it. You can just put aside everything and try and make it through the morning meeting so you can have lunch. But, you know, even by doing that, you've put aside your work. So take no thought, therefore, for the things of itself. So back to the future. What's the theme? Well, there's the recent past, which I've just talked about, you know, going to camp and, you know, what can happen there. The distant past, that's like going back to the Wild West. So the distance past in our spiritual lives is a bit of a funny thing. That's our day one testimony. And some people, you know, they like to dwell in that space. They like to remember not as a point in their life where God transformed their lives, but they think back to things that were taken away from them. And that's the bad thing. You know, the whole point of, and it's interesting talking to some people about their testimonies that, yeah, they really like to look back and almost regret the things that God took away from them. And they're out there. They really are. You just got to talk to people and you can pick up on these things. Sometimes it's like, you know, what are we going to do on the afternoon at camp? Well, we're going to go and do those things that we can't normally do. And they go off and do them. Apparently dancing, you know, people regret not being able to dance anymore. And so they do that on the stage. Other people regret seeing dancing on the stage. Yeah, I was one of those people. I just thought it was a little odd. But, you know, so the distance past. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Because, you know, if you're talking distant past, again, why would you not go to Isaiah? So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Now, when I read this scripture, Glenys, it's not talking about you, okay? I just want to get that out early, lest you be offended quickly. Okay, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Just let it soak in there, yeah, thank you. I thought it was going to be funnier than that, but... Okay, behold, I will do a new thing now, it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, so remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. So very clearly saying here, this is not where your mind needs to be. So as much as we may want to go back and let our eyes glaze over and tear up a little bit on how great things used to be, they weren't great. You know, they might have seemed great at the time, but great is the work that was done in our lives. You know, great was having the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Great was Jesus setting aside his life on the cross so that we could have the gift of the Spirit. That's what great is. So, you know, when the scriptures say here, remember not the former things, and when they say, behold, I will do a new thing, that's what we got. We were made new creatures. You know, so we have to put aside the distant past. Let the distance past stay in the distance. You know, let it be so far back that you can't see it in the rearview mirror. Let it be like the sun is setting, and when you look in the mirror, you can't see anything but sun, and you regret looking in the mirror because you shouldn't look at the sun. Galatians chapter 2, down in verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So it's a little wordy, but essentially, you know, what we're learning here is the law was a problem. We couldn't fulfill the requirements of the law. We weren't saved by the law. So this was all put aside. We were given grace. We were given righteousness through the death of Christ. We were lifted up above the law. We were no longer, you know, held to that level of account. We were freed from it. So don't pick it up again. Don't try to bring these things into your life. Don't try to to really embrace the things that got taken away from us. They're not worth holding on to. You know, the whole promise of God is the thing that we want to hold on to. And so that leads us to the future. You know, the future. So coming back from camp is like travelling into the future. You know, I found as I would come up to visit Michelle, because, you know, she wasn't staying down there, She was still, and this is not a criticism, okay? So I'm just looking at my, for the people online, I'm looking at my wife trying to be as apologetic as possible, you know. But if you've got any problems, I'll ask Brent to, you know, talk to you later. you know, she was still in the Bunbury life. She hadn't chilled out like I had. And so I would come up and I'd be completely relaxed, which was an unusual thing for me. And she's like, you've got to do these things. These things they're doing. I'm like, really, they don't need doing. They just, peace out, man. You know, I'm just here to, you know, refill my light and easy esky and go back to camp. So, you know, It was difficult to come back into that, and I was a little resentful because, you know, you find the happy place down in camp, and then you're back up in Bunbury, it's not the happy place, and then, you know, back to camp. So it was very confusing. But when I came back from camp altogether, I found it really hard these last few days just getting back into work. My brain won't switch on, and it needs to switch on at some point because I still have work to do, but, you know, because of where my office is, I can turn around and gaze out at the crematorium and think happy thoughts and, you know, see the futile, you know, existence that we have and the green grass, and it's all very existential. But, you know, it just reminds me of, you know, how little what we do in our lives really matters compared to what God wants us to do. Yeah, it was better in my head. I apologise for that. So like the Back to the Future movie, we actually can influence our futures. We absolutely have the power to do that. We don't need a flying car. We don't need a Mr. Fusion, you know, sitting in the back seat or anything like that. You know, God has given us what we need to control our lives and to put aside these things and all the encouragement. So let's go to Revelation chapter 22 because, you know, it had to be in there somewhere. Revelation 22 and verse 12. The theme of the camp. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Okay, so blessed are they that do his commandments. And there was, you know, any amount of talking about what it meant when the Lord said he comes quickly. It doesn't necessarily mean that he comes in the next 5 minutes, but when he does come, it will be quick. There'll be no chance for you to put your pint of beer down, to put the ciggy out and quickly pick up the Bible and try and remember which book comes after which other book. There'll be no time for that. It'll happen. Everyone will know about it, and you need to be ready. In Jeremiah, I'll just read this. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." So the Lord is ready. He wants to do good things for us, but do we want good things for ourselves? And that's how we plan our future. You know, in terms of looking forward, it's not do I want an X32 digital mixer to go down and camp. It's like, you know, how can I stay saved? This needs to be our future. This needs to be our planning. So let's have a look at some things that we can do, some scriptures that can help us with that. So let's go to Jude. And these things, these are not existential crises things. These are really basic things. But it turns out if you take the, you know, life at camp, it's basic. That's what we've been given. Everything we need to know is given to us, and it doesn't have to be, you know, searched out and a 6-month Bible study. Sure, we can do those things, but the basics, they're there. So Jude, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So we know that's a fundamental thing, that through prayer and supplication, that's how we build our relationship with God. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and one verse here, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." So, again, a really simple thing, you know. The fact that we're together, that's the first part of it, and edifying one another. You know, the other thing you tend to get at camp after a few days is, you know, who your favourite footy team is and you know, how the Aussies are doing so badly, the cricket, mostly drops off. And so you tend to be more focused about really simple spiritual things. Or, in fact, where the good coffee is. But that's spiritual, I believe. You know, that goes right to my soul, where you get the good coffee. But, you know, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So exhorting one another to be assembled together. You know, I felt like I might have been labouring in some of my talks towards the end of last year about the importance of being at the meetings, but I'm not going to apologise for it because this is so important. You know, you don't fix problems in your lives by not being at the meetings. You just don't. You know, it can be really difficult to be at the meetings and maybe, you know, you can't sit in the meeting, but unless you're bleeding from the nose like I was one time when I came straight out of hospital and went to a meeting and was told by Pastor Darrell that I should probably go home because playing the guitar with blood down my white shirt was... Look, brother, you know, he was really good about it, but I was like, but Pastor Darrell, you told me I had to be at all the meetings. And I felt bad that I was in hospital, I missed a meeting, and so I had to come straight here. He's like, no, I think you should probably go. So, you know, what is your attitude? Is your attitude that you want to be at the meetings, or is your attitude that you want to not be at the meetings? And we can have both of those. And I've had both of those that, you know, are you looking for excuses, for reasons that to not be here, or are you looking for reasons to be here? Let our future attitude be that we want to be here because, you know, it's a good place to be, that we get good things out of it. As hard as it can be to get here, good things happen on Wednesday nights at the Bunbury meetings. And all the people said, I think you can say amen to that. Come on, you're supposed to be in charge. You spruik your own meeting there, Pastor. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, 29. I'd say this was the penultimate scripture, but I'm actually officially licensed to use that word. So this is the second last scripture. Well, because it's your thing. You know, I don't want to take your thing. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, look, I'm working on that, okay? I'm working on it. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm working on all of that, so I'll just read that and move on. No, so you know, when we're together, let's edify each other. Let's speak, you know, as the oracles of God. Now, I'm not saying that we can't talk about the footy or how poorly the Australian cricket team is doing, but overall, understand that, you know, we're spirit-filled Christians here to be spirit-filled Christians. You know, that's what God's called us to do. And finally, in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay, this is our goal. We want to be relieved of the burden of this body, vile or otherwise. Your translation may not say vile, it may say something considerably less offensive, but vile bodies. That's how it is. You know, the spirit wants to get out. It wants to be free to this body. It wants to be converted, translated, whichever word you want to have. It wants to meet the Lord in the air. That's our future. That's what we should be planning for. That's what we should be aiming for. That should be just everything about our lives is we want to not go back to where we came from. We want to go forward to where we need to be. Thank you.